We just had another inflation reading. This time it was the PPI, the Producer Price Index, and it was hot, very, very, very hot again. The expectation was 3.2%, and the actual number was 3.5%, with core PPI was at 3%, with expectation of 3.3%. That is the second inflation reading that we've had in 2 days that has been hot. And not only has it been hot, but it's been really, really, really hot. The good news is, though, that if you look at the Bitcoin price, it ain't moving. It's at 96,000. It's where it's been for a lot of days. And that means that the market's probably priced this in. If you look at the altcoins, surprise, surprise, we're getting a lot of green altcoins. And it's not all the altcoins. It's altcoins in certain narratives that are green. And they're actually making the Bitcoin dominance actually drop a little bit. Today, I want to actually dig into the PPI numbers. I want to dig into what's happening with inflation. And then I want to show you why I think the altcoins are green. And we're going to focus on a couple of ecosystems that are like really green, like the BNB ecosystem, for example. If you see Cake's up 40%, and BNB has been up a lot. So we'll talk about the BNB system, ecosystem, as well as some others. So if that sounds good to you and you haven't died of boredom in this choppy sideways market, then what I suggest you do is subscribe to the channel, obliterate the like button, and let's have a good show, guys. By the way, I don't know, did you guys hear that they lost BitBoy? They can't find him. Did you hear that? I don't know if you guys heard this, but I think it's a true story, actually. Let me just look at the Duchess. What does Cassie call herself? Duchess of DeFi. Duchess of DeFi. So I don't know if this is true, but I read this tweet here. Hold on. I saw this tweet yesterday. It said, if you've heard from Ben in the last 24 hours, please DM me. He left the house yesterday and hasn't been back. Everyone is worried sick. And the reason why everyone is worried sick, it says, Hit Network for 18 months has destroyed my life. TJ Shed has willfully targeted me. Congrats to him. Cassie and I broke up today. The day I started telling my story, I'm willing to lose Cassie, my lawyers, my kids, my audience, my channel, and my life before I'm going to die without people knowing exactly what happened. That was like the last post. And since then, I don't think anyone's actually found him. So if you do know anything about BitBoy and where he is, suggest you just get hold of the Duchess of DeFi named Cassie. It's his, I guess, now ex-girlfriend. She said that they broke up. Anyway, let's get on to some real alpha. I mean, let's try and help BitBoy wherever we can, but let's get into some real alpha. We've got to talk about the hot PPI numbers because it's not looking good, bruv. It's not looking good. Look at the PPI numbers. We had the CPI numbers yesterday. Remember when we had the CPI numbers yesterday? I mean, again, Bitcoin just did not move. You cannot move Bitcoin. Bitcoin's like closed at 96,000 for like 7 days in a row now. That's how tight this market is. The altcoins obviously were a different story. Others dropped like 4.5%, but then we recovered. The reason why we recovered is because Donald Trump actually had a long phone call with Putin. And it sounds like they really had an intimate call? Like we discussed the Ukraine, we discussed the Middle East, energy, artificial intelligence, the power of the dollar, and various other subjects. We both reflected on the great history of our nations and the fact that we fought so successfully together in World War II. This is quite heartwarming. Let me get a tissue. Remembering that Russia lost tens of millions of people and we likewise lost so many. We talked about the strength. Bottom line is they spoke about potentially ending the war in Ukraine, and that's why the market actually went up yesterday, right? But then Zelensky came to the party and he's like, can't believe that Trump phoned Putin before he phoned me. And if they do any deal that doesn't include Kiev, I'm not going to sign it. You're going to sign whatever you're going to sign because you're not getting any more money from the US. So just take the deal, whatever deal they bring you, just take the deal, end the war. And the reason why it's so important to actually end this war is, of course, millions of people are dying, number one. And people that are innocent and are not part of this shit are displaced from their homes. And I've got a lot of friends in Kiev, and that's apparently become like a dumping ground, so to speak, right? Also, not only that, I think that this is Trump's big plan to reduce inflation. So we've had bad inflation yesterday, bad inflation today. Now, I want to just quickly talk about this inflation and the inflation from yesterday. Yesterday was the worst inflation uptick in the last 12 months. And today, this is also the highest inflation uptick since February 2023. This must mean that Trump is so bad and that Trump's policies are so bad and that Trump is bad for inflation. No, it doesn't. Why? Because Trump was only inaugurated on the 20th of January. This is the January PPI. This is still when the Democrats were in power, right? So the readings here are the readings taken from when the Democrats were in power. That said, I don't think that Trump is very good for inflation. Trump, they call him Tariff Trump. Tariff Trump is not good for inflation. Generally, I don't think Trump's policies are very good for inflation. But I think Elon makes a very, very good point, right? Elon's point is the following. He says, it will become clear that Doge is working. You will see the long-term treasury bill yields fall, and all Americans will benefit from lower interest rate payments on mortgages, small business debt, credit cards, and other loans. I think what Trump realizes is that he can't reduce inflation, or he can't reduce interest rates by reducing inflation, because inflation has just gone rampant in the United States. How do you stop inflation? Well, number one, broker a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. That'll bring down commodity costs. That'll bring down energy costs. Number two, cut government wastage and cut government spending, because the more the government is spending, the higher inflation is going to go. The more the government is spending, the higher the U.S. debt, the debt deficit is. And with the U.S. debt so high, the interest rate payments are so high, and that's just not good for the flywheel of the economy. And so I think what Trump's doing is he's taking a very fundamental approach here, and he's saying, look, the only way I'm going to really reduce inflation, get more oil out the ground. Number two, broker peace between Russia and Ukraine and make sure that this peace lasts and that oil goes down and that all commodities actually start going down. And then, of course, cut government spending. I think Elon's doing an amazing, amazing job cutting government spending, like crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So I think that's Trump's master plan of reducing inflation. The PPI was a bit scary because Fed Chair Powell said he's looking at PPI data, and then he's looking at the PCE data. Now, chances are they're all going to be high. And then we have a FOMC meeting. So let's look at when the next FOMC meeting is. So we have the next FOMC meeting, which is happening. It's not happening. 34 days. So it'll be the 19th of March. So we will get another, yes, we will. We'll get another inflation reading for Feb before the next FOMC, which I think is quite good, because if we went into FOMC now, Powell would stand there and say, guys, look, we've got a big problem. PPI is up, CPI is up. This is a mess. Rates aren't coming down anytime soon. We do have one more reading. I don't expect any miracles from the next reading. It's clear the US has an inflation problem. Call a spade, broker peace in Russia and Ukraine, reduce government spending, and let's actually get inflation under control. Anyways, so that's the inflation issues. I guess that QE ain't going to happen. So the QE bringing in alt season, that ain't going to happen. I guess the one thing that could bring in alt season is a drop in the Dixie, because that's what happened in 2017, right? So in 2017, if you look at what happened, if we can go back that far on this chart, if you look at what happened here, the Dixie actually collapsed, and that is what brought in the alt season. So what we can hope for is that the Dixie actually breaks down from here, which would be exactly what happened in the last elections with Trump. So we need this Dixie to break down, then we could get an alt season, and then maybe the Bitcoin dominance can break down. You can see Bitcoin slightly slipping now, slightly 95.5. I do see that the dominance slightly lower, and I think the reason why the dominance is slightly lower is because there are actually certain altcoins that are really performing very, very, very well, and they are major altcoins. And when you get major altcoins performing well against Bitcoin, that actually drives the dominance down. And I think the three altcoins that I really want to talk about today, the first one that I want to talk about is BNB, because if you look at BNB, BNB has actually now not outperformed Sol, but it's actually got a bigger market cap than Solana. And the reason why it's got a bigger market cap than Solana is because the BNB token price has actually been on an absolute tear. If you look at the low of, in fact, let's not go to the low, but let's just zoom, because that low represents a bad day for all of us. We all remember how bad that low was because we all got liquidated. But if you look at the performance of BNB, BNB's had amazing performance. But not only has it had amazing performance, it is one of the only tokens that is actually now at its all-time high. I mean, unbelievable to think that it's at an all-time high. To make it even better, if you compare BNB to BTC, so you can do BNB BTC, you can actually see that even like against BTC, BNB has really, really, really performed well, which is very, very, very unusual for a token. So the big question is, what is this all about? why is BNB doing so well? Or has BNB been doing so well and there actually hasn't been much hype around it? And now all of a sudden there's hype around it. Now, what happened the last few days was CZ launched a meme token, a meme coin, and he called it Test as an example of testing. And once that happened, Binance actually landed up listing the test. First, CZ came out and said, look, we shouldn't have... TST got listed on Binance, a few thoughts. He came out and he was like quite apologetic about the fact that this token had been listed on Binance. But a lot of people had actually landed up making a lot of money on this TST token. But it's actually not all about memes. If you look at the Binance chain is quite an old chain. It was actually launched in the previous bull market. And if you look at the Binance chain, it was really the first cheap, fast EVM compatible chain, which means that all the Ethereum apps could have migrated to the BNB apps, the BNB chain, which is BSC chain, which is the BNB BSC chain, which is the BNB token. Yes, got it. So it was the first EVM compatible chain. And so these apps that wanted to attract new users and weren't able to do it because of the high gas fees of Ethereum, they went to Binance. Also, Binance became like the onboarding mechanism. Just like Coinbase is for Base, BNB is for Binance. And as you know, Binance is a much, much, much bigger exchange globally than Coinbase is, right? And so it's not only about meme coins, it's actually about fundamentals, because in their new roadmap for 2025, they've got much faster block times. They're going to go down to sub-second finality. Solana, just by the way, is on 0.4 seconds. So this is sub-second finality. 100 million transactions per day, gasless transactions, smart wallets, AI, memes, dev tools, etc. So it looks like there's a renewed vigor on working on this chain. And I think that this is Binance's answer to Coinbase on Base. Binance is going, look, we have this chain. This chain, it was a great chain in the last bull market. And now we're starting to put renewed vigor into it again. And CZ is actually leading the charge. Like, now he says, he came out and he said something like, honest newbie question, how does it work? I share my dog's name and a picture and people create meme coins. How do you know which one is official and does that even matter? I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, but it's a real thing because you see that there is a lot of money actually flowing out of Solana into BNB, out of Ethereum into BNB. And you can see it's all happening on DBridge. So remember, we spoke about DBridge and how good a bridge DBridge actually was or is. So there is money going into BNB. Right now, I mean, remember, BNB's got a lot of apps that were built in the last cycle. There's a lot of staking apps. There's a lot of trading apps. There's the big exchange. Remember, our thesis is always buy the chain and buy the DEX on the chain. And if you look at the DEX on the chain, which is called PancakeSwap, here it is, up 34%. But the 34% doesn't actually tell a proper story, right? If you look at where this chain was just a week ago, not even a week ago, it's done 100% in the last week. And that just shows you that there's a lot of share of mind that is actually moving to BNB. And you can see that when it comes to the DEX, always buy the DEX, the chain, and then you can go and speculate on the main meme coin, which will probably be CZ's dog when it comes out, which I think will be Brownie. I think the name is Brownie. I was in Abu Dhabi. I should have just gone to visit him. The thing with BNB is that you're not actually only buying a chain. You're actually buying an exchange as well, right? So remember, with BNB, you are buying a quarterly burn, but I don't think, is it quarterly now? Well, yeah, I think it's a quarterly burn where they burn tokens that from exchange profits. They say 20% of the exchange profits, it should be 20%, but no one actually knows because there's no visibility into the Binance financials. But generally, they are burning. So they, like, if you look at, like, these are quarterly burns, by the way. So you can see quarterly, they burn around $1 billion worth about a billion, which would mean that Binance is making about $5 billion in profit. I think Binance is making a lot more profit than that, to be honest. Someone says Brownie is ripping. Yeah, it was pretty obvious. And so can you just send me a link to the official Brownie chart, please? Sure. I want to see it. So you can see that when you buy BNB, when you buy the token, you're getting the gas coin of the chain, which is like the ETH of Ethereum. And you're also getting an exchange token, which where there's $1 billion worth of buying pressure every single quarter. Okay, now that is what justifies the valuation of this token, which has a fully diluted valuation of $101 billion, right? Kind of makes sense. If you think $101 billion, if they're burning $4 billion a year, that's a 25 PE on an exchange. That's nothing. And then you're kind of getting the chain for free, right? To me, that's like, you think about this. They're buying and burning $1 billion every quarter. That means they're buying and burning about $4 billion a year, right? $4 billion a year, PE of 25 gives you the $100 billion. To me, probably cheap at the price, I'll be honest. Like, where can you buy any asset on any crypto asset at 25%? You're saying, be careful, is this the real one?
It's the biggest one.
Okay, show me. Okay, this is the biggest one. This is the biggest one at the moment. This is Brownie. This is $56 million market. I'm not telling you to buy it. I'm not telling you it's legitimate. I'm just showing you what's going on the BNB chain, right? So what you can see is that right now, all the hype is actually on BNB. And then the question becomes, is this a good token to hold as part of your portfolio? Or is this similar to Justin Sun? Remember, Justin Sun also came out and he tried to make a meme coin season on Tron. I don't know if you remember that. So Justin Sun did that. Remember, here it is. Here's the Justin Sun meme coin season. Didn't actually last and it's pretty dead again. Is this the same thing or is this not the same thing? That's the question. So let me give you my honest thoughts around the BNB token, whether it is one that you should have in your portfolio. Spoiler alert, I think it is one that you need to have in your portfolio. Why? Because it's one of the only tokens in the cycle that is currently at its all-time high, okay, ever. And it's one of the only tokens that has really performed well against Bitcoin. And this is not a token that has not performed ever. In every cycle, this token has really performed. Now, there's good and bad here. On the one hand, CZ owns a whole lot of these tokens. He's by far the biggest holder of these tokens. How much does he hold? I don't know. No one knows exactly. This article here says CZ amassed his Binance stockpile in two ways. Binance was created in 2017 and he was the founding team and he received 80 million tokens from 200 million tokens. Okay. BNB, Forbes' forensic analysis of the wallets that received these tokens conducted with Grey Wolf Analytics indicates the company holds 46.2 million tokens of the original 80 million tokens. CZ is credited with 41.6 from his. So, long story short, CZ actually owns a massive amount of his tokens. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. Because it's a good thing because the supply is tightly held by one guy who allegedly will never sell. The bad thing is if he ever lands up selling. Now, I don't believe that CZ is a seller. At least I don't think he's a seller anytime soon. At the same time, the exchange just keeps burning profits. And your worst case is that the exchange just carries on burning profits, burning $4 billion a year worth of profits. And then this makes it quite a worthwhile investment. In terms of the actual chain, look, I'm not that bullish that the BNB chain will be the most amazing chain in the world. Unless they do something absolutely, absolutely crazy. Like, it's been around for a while, and it was a very good chain in the previous cycle, but in this cycle, Solana's actually beaten it. But I suppose that if you're buying the exchange plus the chain, there's probably a case to say, well, you know what, let me take a bit of a nibble in this one. And I don't think it's a passing phase, because BNB has never been a passing phase. It never has been. Full disclosure, I don't hold any more BNB. So I don't hold BNB this cycle. I probably should at some stage. What do I sell to get BNB? What do you sell to buy BNB? Do you sell Solana to buy BNB?
Depends on how much Solana I have.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it just feels weird selling Solana for BNB. I've got too much conviction in Solana. Yeah. Anyway, so that is the story around BNB. The other token that has brought us a lot of... that has moved dominance slightly is Ethereum. And the reason why Ethereum slightly moved... it's holding up pretty well given what's going on, is because there was the first ETF filing that requested to permit staking, right? Now, you may say, well, so what? What's the difference? The difference is that now, when you hold ETH in an ETF, you're not getting the staking rewards. You don't have the option of the staking rewards. And you could get the option of the staking rewards, right? So how big are these staking rewards? Actually, not very big. Right now, If you're staking ETH, you're getting a 3% reward. For us, that's nothing. But for Wall Street, without an unlock period. So remember, the ETH unstaking doesn't have a lockup period. For Wall Street, earning an extra 3% is actually quite big. Remember, Wall Street all work around yields and getting returns and stuff like that. And so for them, this is actually quite a big thing. So what you can see is that a lot of people are getting excited about the fact that ETH staking is starting to happen. Also, the ETH Foundation is actually not selling any more ETH. They used to sell a lot of ETH. Now, is it right to say that they were selling about $100 million every couple of months of ETH? They were selling that much. I mean, why do you need $100 million? Like, what does this foundation have that costs $100 million? $100 million. That's much. It's crazy. Crazy fucking numbers. Anyway, now they are staking them and they are borrowing against them instead of actually selling them onto the market, which is a lot less sell pressure on the market. Around the staking of the ETH ETFs, the biggest winner in this is going to be Coinbase. Because remember that Coinbase actually, Coinbase, 10 of the 12 trading spot Bitcoin ETFs use Coinbase as their custodian. I imagine the ETH number is something similar. How many?
You have it there. It's 8 out of 9.
So 8 out of 9. 8 out of 9 of the ETH ETFs use Coinbase. So I guess the biggest winner of staking must be Coinbase, which is probably why it's up to 12.66% on a day when crypto is actually down. Right. So that's the big one. The other one that's doing really well is Lido. So I don't know if you saw on the bubbles, at least earlier when I looked at it, the Lido price was up. But don't worry, because the bubbles, you see, there we go. See, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Lido's up 11%. You know, you can also check your stocks now on Banter Bubbles. But because I'm looking for Lido, I can actually, there we go. So you can actually check, what stock is this? App. Applovin Corporation, Class A stock. Up like a crypto story today. Eh? It's an AI play. See, it's an AI play. Guys, you do have on Banter Bubbles crypto and stocks and a newsroom. Can you believe it? What an amazing, amazing, amazing product. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Anyway, so that is the story on ETH. The last one that is moving is Sonic, which is like, it's the new Phantom chain. So Sonic is actually moving. The reason why Sonic is moving is it's starting to really get traction, right? So you're looking at Sonic, the TVL is starting to grow, the apps are starting to grow. A lot of people are starting to bridge money to Sonic using D-Bridge. Everybody uses D-Bridge. By the way, if you want to use D-Bridge, you can earn a lot of points in the next D-Bridge airdrop. There's a massive D-Bridge airdrop and you can earn a lot of points. There is a link here. Let's just go here. Airdrop. And you know, I shouldn't actually wear a black shirt because you see, I disappear into the charts. You see, I disappear into charts. So you see, you can use D-Bridge to swap between chains and you can actually get an airdrop. Tell Amy she must talk about the airdrop and earning money in the airdrop. So you just click this link and you can earn money in the airdrop, which is amazing. And it's the fastest and cheapest bridge that there actually is. They were the bridge to bridge to BNB. So like if I want to bridge to BNB and my money's on Sol, I just go, I want to move from Sol on, of course, the Solana chain. And I want to move to, okay, let's just click on that. Cool. And I want to move Sol. And then I want to move to Sonic on the Sonic chain. Or if I want to move to BNB on the BNB chain, or USDC on the BNB chain, I can do this all with D-Bridge. Very fast, very cheap. So Arbitrum, Barrachain, Sonic, all of them you can do on D-Bridge. And remember, Sonic is just really, really, really just starting. And so again, my thesis remains, buy the chain and buy the DEX, right? Buy the chain, Sonic, buy the DEX. What's the DEX called on Sonic? Shadow. Shadow token. That's what it's called, Shadow. I remember that one. Yeah, so you just buy Shadow. My son just got a cat, black cat called Shadow also. See, look at this. Look. Up 45.6%. I'm telling you, the investment thesis for this cycle, the bridges, the L1s, the DEXs, that's all you need to hold. And then just go and buy like 0.5% of your portfolio into the dogs and the cats and the meme coins. And what's the price of Brownie now? 80 million. You see, if you watch the show, in the middle of the show, at 50 million, it goes to 80 million. People getting rich every day at Banter, every single day. Anyway, remember yesterday we said that one of our exchange sponsors said that because so many people got liquidated, they wanted to help people make good. That was, of course, Bybit. Well, they gave us a spreadsheet of all the people that got liquidated. Which is your account number? Because I know you got liquidated that day.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, I'm going to select two people. We're just going to reinstate their account, right? So if you are account number, UID number 7677939, your account will get reinstated. You're going to need to email giveaways@cryptobanter.com from the same email on that account. And if your account number is 11301 4280, email us, giveaways@cryptobanter.com. We will restore your account. What's your account number?
It's I'm going to send it.
Okay, give it to me. I'll put it there. Hold on. What's his account number? Take your time, sir.
Yeah,
all right, so this account number here. I'm just, you know what? You know why I'm checking? I'm checking to see if you signed up with a Banter link.
Sure.
Or otherwise you're fired.
I think I have signed up with a Banter link.
But you didn't submit. Did you go and submit to the Google Sheet?
No, I haven't.
So if you don't buy a lottery ticket,
yeah.
If you don't buy a lottery ticket, you can't win the lottery, sir.
Exactly.
Seriously, you can't. If you don't buy a lottery ticket, you absolutely can't win the lottery. I think that's it for today. Short and sweet. Is anyone else making any exciting content on crypto? Let's have a look. Let's go to YouTube. Is a major Bitcoin sale looming? Who's been using my YouTube? I spent $6 million on a Lamborghini yacht. Who is using my YouTube? Watch every way to fry an egg. What is going on with my YouTube algorithm? Oh my goodness. All right, I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.